Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight again as we look into your word to receive truths, Lord, that you have for us. Father, I thank you. I pray, Father, that you would bless, that you would speak to our hearts, and Father, that we might hear what you have to say to us and be obedient. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a lesson in tonight in Galatians chapter 2. For those who want to follow with in your Bible, Galatians chapter 2. And we'll be reading the first 10 verses, even though we'll cover some of the rest through the chapter. So Galatians chapter 2. Shall we stand as I read? Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, or Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas a right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. May God bless the reading of His Word at this time. I've entitled this, Not Running in Vain. I don't believe there's anyone as a Christian who wants to run in vain. We want to know that, as Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. This is so important to be ready to meet the Lord when He comes or if we go to be with Him. I can't think of anything more crucial. We find in these verses, as Paul said, after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. Titus was a Gentile and a Christian and was possibly a living example of what Paul was saying. He was very concerned of defending the purity of the gospel rather than mixing it with law. I'm not sure how many are aware of the freedom found in grace and that we operate by the Spirit of Christ rather than the letter of the law, which only leads to death. No one can bear it. And it seemed so easy for these people to come in as false teachers and add to the gospel the necessity for circumcision. I reflected upon this because there are many ways we can mix works with salvation. And apart from that which God works in us that we are to work out, salvation is strictly by grace through faith. And Paul was teaching this, but he was very concerned that people didn't become confused with the false teachers. What he was teaching was from God. Now, I praise God that throughout the centuries, and we see Paul doing this, and we're going to check it out in just a couple minutes, that he went with a group to Jerusalem to counsel together and to see what was happening, to check it out with others. I think of throughout the history when men have gotten together to check out what the Word really says. You've read about this. You've read about the many battles in the breaking off from the church and when they recognized that salvation was strictly by grace through faith. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to work for it. It's so easy to add works. As we look back, well, they went privately to those who were of reputation, the apostles, and because of the false brethren that have come in, they were going to check it out. And so I'm going to turn to Acts 15 for a minute and just read about this Jerusalem council where they checked it out. Because Paul had some statements here and he realized the importance. And we will see that later on as we add a few verses in the rest of the chapter. But in Acts 15, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then I'll skip to verse 6. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. This was a big thing. It still is a big thing, isn't it? If anybody tries to add to the gospel that which isn't there and which isn't necessary. Very, very important. Verse 6. So the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. This is Peter standing up saying this. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledge him by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. Just as he did to us. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Now we'll go back to our lesson tonight, but I wanted to bring you to Acts, where Peter stood up and made this defense. And he was able to make this defense because God had literally shown him. And we'll check this out in a few minutes later on where this appeared and what Peter went through in receiving this revelation from the Lord. Now, if the Lord reveals it to you, it's real. But Satan's going to put doubts. He will put doubts and try everything to destroy what God is doing. And so Paul had taken this, along with witnesses, Barnabas and Titus, who was a Gentile, who was an example of a Gentile who was saved, loving the Lord, working for him, and to check it out. Now let's go back to chapter 2. As Paul explains in verse 2, I went up by revelation, communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. And that's the title tonight, Not Running in Vain. There's nothing worse than to be preaching and feel that you've run in vain by preaching something that isn't God's truth, that God hasn't given you. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But this occurred because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The second section I'd like to base it on, beginning with verse 5, the importance of rightly dividing the Word of God, or rightly dividing the truth, as it's put here. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me, God shows personal favoritism to no man, for those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me as a gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, because he had worked effectively in both. I want to go back a few minutes. This was necessary if they were to have a pure gospel. They met together. They discussed. I want to bring you back to Paul. Paul had been struck down by the Lord himself. He was blinded. And he was given later on the message that he was to preach to the Gentiles. He was told that he was going to be one who would preach to the Gentiles. He went through quite an experience there as he was on the road to Damascus. I don't know of any more wonderful conversion where we see a 180 where he's going one way, zealously, thinking he's doing the right thing, and God opened his eyes, turned him around, and he began to preach the gospel. Now, for Paul to even say, lest I had run in vain, and yet in his humility, I believe basically for the sake of those who were contending for the faith, for what they were saying to him, he wanted to check it out with witnesses and see what the elders and the others would say. And of course they decided that both had been given a message from the Lord. Peter had his too, and we're going to check that out in just a few minutes. It's rather important. But the council met, they agreed, God had revealed both to Peter and Paul. In Acts 10 and in Acts 9. It had been real. I go back over as God called me into the ministry. You've heard me repeat it many times, and the reason I repeat it is because I go back to confirm again not only what God did when He called me, but how He confirmed it even to this day. How He's confirmed the message that He gave me. How He prompted me by the Holy Spirit to pray. Three things, and I've shared that, and I won't go through the details now again. But I've seen those things come to pass. Jesus tells us, I tell you ahead of time, before it comes to pass, so when it does, you might believe. It's so easy to get off track if we listen to what people have to say. And I've got to keep on keeping on. As I look back how God called my dad into the ministry. I look how God has called my son into the ministry. And all I can do is say, thank you, Lord. I say nothing of this in boasting, because none of it has been us. It's been only by the power of God. But I say it because at times it needs to be confirmed that God is working here. And this is so important, to allow the Holy Spirit to work. And I pray for the wisdom to keep on keeping on, and to keep the purity of the gospel here. To keep the purity of those who are taking part in the program, to be born again by the Spirit of God. And to make sure we don't get sidetracked anywhere along the way, because our God is still real. He is still real. The importance of rightly dividing the word of truth. Nobody can change what God had done with Peter and Paul, but they did right in checking it out. This is very important. I praise God for their humility to be able to do this and say, I want to know. We want it confirmed. We want it confirmed by those in charge. Now, what was said? They desired only that we should remember the poor. And that's what they wanted to do. That was part of God's program, and so they were right on track. Now, I want to go on just the next few minutes. The importance of standing firm. Because those that waver, as the wind blows one way or blows the other, will not stand long. I say that in all sincerity and truth. If you're standing upon the gospel of Christ, you cannot waver. God doesn't want you to. And if you know what you have is from God Himself, then keep on keeping on. Now, verse 11 brings in some interesting things. Remember, God had spoken. But when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Remember, God had spoken. But oh, when pressure is brought in to change, if the change is for the good, and if it correlates with the word of God, Paul said, in humility, that's what we want. I don't want to have run or to run in vain. But now he sees Peter, who changes as the circumcised or the Jewish people come in there. And we find that he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the Jewish persuasion or of the circumcision. And when Peter withdrew, it was a real hindrance to the rest of them, so that even Barnabas was caught up in this hypocrisy. The pressure gets so great. Can you put what God has done and spoken? Can you change because of pressure? Shouldn't. When you see God working, there should be no change because of pressure. Now, this message is particularly important for the day in which we're living, because we're going to have messages coming from every side. there's going to be changes. There's going to be changes in the Word. There's going to be changes in the messages of that we hear on radio, TV, and so on. And those who want to stand for Christ completely, God should bring about this oneness. And everything that's done should be in love. And that's going to be the revealing factor, the fruit. By their fruit we will know them. We've heard that told us, and we've preached it ourselves. It's by their fruit that we will know them. We'll know reality. We'll know what's right. There is a freedom that we have in Christ. And if that freedom starts to be destroyed, something's wrong. There's going to be confusion. And God is a God of order. Everything is brought about orderly. I have used this as a sign frequently over the last 30 years. Be 30 years, September 15th, that God called me. And we want things to be in order. God had spoken. Peter was fearful to take a stand, even though he had God's message to him, revelation. He was fearful to take a stand. I'm going to turn back to Acts again, this time chapter 10, and I would like to read just a little bit from Acts chapter 10. I won't read as much as I'll just from verses 9 through 15, you remember Peter is having a vision of a sheet coming down. You remember that? The unclean food? And Jesus says in verse 15, what God has cleansed, you must not call common or unclean. This is God's program. Now, this was a transitional period. This was very hard for Peter to get used to. And we go through these times. This was done 3 times. Truly, he might have thought one time maybe he ate too much. Maybe it was just something he imagined. Maybe it was a dream. But no, God is very emphatic when he deals with people. This was done 3 times. What God has cleansed, don't call unclean. Now, when Peter, verse 17, when Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now, to save reading, you remember he had sent men to get Simon to come to his place and to tell him whatever he had to tell him. See, God had dealt with both places. Now, was there any doubt that this was God working? In verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in a truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. This is Peter's statement. God works with Jew and Gentile and Samaritan. Peter had been given the keys. He had been the one to open the gospel to each of the groups. Truly, God had worked in his life. He had empowered him. And then Peter begins to give a message. And he gives the message of the gospel. And he tells about Jesus. And if we skip over to about verse 40, it says, him God raised up on the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God. You see, those who see Jesus, it's a special privilege, isn't it? It's ordained by God. It's those that he is separating out for himself. What a privilege to spend time before God in prayer. and to have him speak to you through his word. And he continues, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. Okay, remember this. God works in many different ways. As we go back and look, they need light before the fire. They need to understand. And Peter had given them the crucifixion, who Jesus was, and those who believe on him might have forgiveness of sin. And while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Can you ever forget that? I don't want to blame Peter, but he seemed to have forgotten it when he allowed the attitude of what he was doing to be different than what he was speaking. And Paul wanted to make sure that the gospel was pure, not adding any works to it, even by Peter's attitude. And you noticed why it was important. It wasn't just Peter, but it trickled down to all, even Barnabas, who was an encourager and true and was sent to examine at times others, and even he fell into the hypocrisy, which means that how important it is to keep our eyes looking to Jesus and to be sure the Holy Spirit is leading us as we take action. Now, back to chapter 2, in verse 14, when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. In other words, Peter knew better. But by acting the way he was and separating himself and kind of being afraid to be separated, Paul said, this isn't right. This isn't right. You aren't straightforward about the truth. It's a perversion by what you're doing. I pray that our lives might illustrate what we're saying every step of the way. And so Paul confronts Peter right here, rightly so. And I praise God because it means we're getting the purity of the gospel as God takes care of it to bring it right down to this day and age and our generation. In verse 18, Paul said, if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. It's not right. If I start to go back to the law, I make myself a transgressor. It's not a have to. It's a working out of what the Spirit works in. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. The letter is gone, but the Spirit giveth life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now verse 21 is so beautiful. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Praise God. I pray tonight as we close that we might look to the Lord and pray that God would draw us closer. Give us a burden for souls. Give us a burden to witness to others. Give us a burden to live for Him. Give us the patience that we might be apt to teach and not drive. Shall we stand as we're dismissed in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you again tonight, and I praise and thank you for this lesson that you have given us from your word in this series. I pray, Father, that you would speak to each one of our hearts here tonight. In the precious name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that our hearts might be softened, that we might hear your word. I pray that your love would flow through. Lord, that our love for you might be preeminent, and the love for our brethren here tonight might be your love flowing through us. Bless each one who's come out tonight. Encourage, strengthen, whatever is needed, beginning with myself. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. They answered and said, Amen. The Lord bless you, and you're dismissed.